That's okay. It's okay to chatter. It's all right. You know, have you ever, is anybody else besides me not like mushy fruit? Is there any anti-mushy fruit people in the deal? Man, you know, you ever get a banana and it's, man, it looks really good. Then you peel it and you go to taste it and it's just like, it's just not happening. The Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So it doesn't matter what the banana looks like. We can dress ourselves up and we can come to church and we can put on the part, but we're supposed to taste the Lord. We're supposed to participate and let him touch our lives. Are we ready to do that this morning? All right, let's pray. I want to also welcome our live stream audience that's with us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit. We pray that this service in our hearts, our thoughts, our words would please you and bring glory to you. Send your Holy Spirit. Anoint this place. Anoint us. Father, don't allow us to leave today the same way we came in. If we came dragging in stuff with us that we shouldn't be carrying, let us drop it off and leave it here. Father, we trust you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise him now.
It's in the Bible to clap your hands. It's in there. So we're going to clap our hands. We're going to sing the song again. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all
again,
just when we all get to heaven. y'all give him a praise offering. Amen. Jeff, come on down with the children's sermon.
Invite the children to come and join Miss Teresa down here at this end for Children's Church. Keep going, guys. Children's Church today. All right. Don't you love the kids? Love seeing all those kids. A couple of things this morning as we go to a time of prayer. I wanted to tell you first that Bill and Carlene are taking a Sunday off here. They're at a family reunion and well-deserved time off. Also, I want you to, if you would, lift up David and Donna Gist. I saw a text this morning that their AC caught on fire and the fire department's out there, I think, as we speak, trying to get that under control. So please lift the Gist family up. Robin, come up here, girl. Robin Lane came to our church. When did you come, Robin? 17. Okay. And she's moving back to home state of South Carolina, where people talk funny. We're going to miss Robin. She has been very involved and been a blessing to us as she's been here. If anybody wants to come up here, we're going to put a hand on Miss Robin. We're going to pray her out this morning. You know, one of the things that, y'all come on up. One of the things that when we love deeply, we kind of grieve deeply too. It hurts when we bind our hearts together and then we're separated. You'll come back and visit, though, right, Robin? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, it's good to be your people. You are, Jesus, you are what binds our hearts together. I pray for Robin. I thank you for sharing her with us. And Father, as her and Larry move back to their home state, God, I pray blessings. I pray that they'd settle right back in. Deep friendships, great church relationships. Lord, bless them. Keep them safe during the move. Lord, be with this family as this transition happens. Lord, again, we are grateful for Jesus. You knit our hearts together. Lord, we also this morning, we lift up David and Donna Gist, God, they are experiencing this fire. And I pray, God, that the damage would be minimal and that everyone's safe. Keep the firefighters safe as they take care of the blaze. Lord, we're thankful for our first responders, our police officers and our medical staff and our fire department. Lord, we are thankful for them. We're thankful to be the body of Christ. We're thankful that you love us, that you loved us enough to send Jesus. May we represent you well in all that we do. Lord, we pray now the prayer that your son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, my God.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Well, welcome once again. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially thankful you're here and glad that you are here and hope you feel the love of Christ through His people and through His Spirit. If you are our guest, there is a blue stripe card in the seat pocket in front of you and would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to and get to know you a little bit better. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to greet you and have a free gift for our guests. A couple of things that I failed to mention. First of all, Billy normally does our prayer time, and I forget, but our offering is available anytime today. That we have our offering plates up here at the front, and also you can give online. Let me say this about online giving. I know that... When we first started offering online giving, I had some people say, Well, gosh, you know, I don't. When the plate passes, I don't want people to think I'm not being faithful. And so, just know some people are giving online, and it doesn't matter what people think. The Lord knows your heart. I told people that if that bothers you, take one of the giving cards and just say, I give online, and put it in there. If that helps you, you do what you need to do. I want to also lift up Leroy and Cindy. Lost their great-grandson this past week, 7 months old. And our hearts break with y'all's, and we love you guys. I'll talk more about the Riney, Kenley Riney, losing Kenley Riney. I'll talk more a little bit about that in a little bit. But, you know, man, this life sometimes is hard, huh? So I also, Lee, is Lee back there? Somebody wake Lee up. Last week, I talked about being frustrated with my mower. Does anybody remember that? And kind of, I wanted Lee and Carlton Carlson, Lee Butler and Carlton Carlton, mow our yard here at the church. It wasn't them, okay? Lee was like, well, everybody's going to think you were mad at me. I get mad at Lee for all sorts of reasons, but that wasn't it. Okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. If you haven't read Acts in a while, man, go through that. That is when the church was just exploding, was actually launching all through Acts. The way things were going on as Christ ascended back to the Father. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Now notice in the New Testament, Saul and Paul are interchangeable. I mean, he goes by both names. So just know that. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, capital W, meaning Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. I bet they did. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show you how much he must suffer. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and your word tells us that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you will be there with us, and so we trust that. We ask now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak in power and authority, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series today, Overcomer. Overcomer. Today's message, Paul, overcoming a checkered past. I'm not sure where that saying came from, but a checkered past. Everybody knows what a checkered past is, right? Anybody have anything in their past that they're ashamed of? Any of you, when you were younger, maybe were kind of engaged in building your testimony? Did anybody else build in their testimony besides me? Think about Paul or Saul. Think about who this guy was. He was a devout Jew, and he saw the Christians as a heresy against his faith, and he set out to destroy this sect, this Christian sect. If you look and back up a couple of chapters into Acts 7, you see that there was a man, Stephen, who was a godly man, his crime was sharing the gospel, and the leaders of the synagogue, they were offended by his message, and ultimately they stoned Stephen to death. He was the first martyr for the church. And I love this. Stephen, as he's being stoned, Stephen prays and he sees a vision and he says, I see the Son at the right hand of the Father. And he prays just as Jesus prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they're stoning him. That's pretty strong stuff. But as they were stoning Stephen, it says in Acts 7:57, as they covered their ears, the leaders, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at Stephen, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and Saul was there giving approval to this death. So I kind of call that participated in a murder, don't you? Saul was participated in the stoning of one of God's saints. He set out in Acts chapter 8, again, right before this passage. It says in Acts chapter 8, 3, it says, Saul began to destroy the church. So he's seeking to destroy the church. And then also he set out to throw believers in prison. If he either was going to have them killed, or he was going to drag them off to prison. He went from house to house, dragged off men and women, and put them in prison. So, I don't know about, I mean, I've done some sinning in my day. I've never killed anybody, but Paul participated in that. Carrying a lot of baggage, this guy. What can we learn? Is there any sin that's too great? If you're here this morning and you think, "Well, I've just done too much," I can't even tell you how many times that I've counseled people who were struggling with something from their past, and my response is always the same. And here's what I tell them: that's why Jesus hung on the cross, because you and I are messed up. That's why Jesus hung on the cross. Because we can't get it right. What can we learn if we unpack this scripture about Paul? What can we learn? So let's look. To overcome a checkered past, church, we must have a personal encounter with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I was not walking down the road and have a, you know, bright light or anything like that. But I've had a personal encounter with Jesus. And one of the things that strikes me is that in this case, Saul was not really looking for that. God saw something. You know, even in the resistance to the church, I believe God saw something in Paul that he said, hey, this guy's going against, but he's passionate. He's at least passionate. And Scripture tells us that God would rather us be hot or cold, lukewarm And this is kind of gross, I'm sorry, but it says basically he vomits that out of his mouth if we're lukewarm. So if you are lukewarm, that's the worst place to be. Paul, he was cold, but he was cold with zest. he was persecuting the church with enthusiasm. And I think God saw that and go, you know what? This guy just needs a touch from me. And he's going to be passionate for me. We have to have a personal encounter with Jesus. Saul fell to the ground. He heard the voice and he said, who are you? And he said, I'm the one you're persecuting. And then he said, get up, go into the city, and I will tell you what you must do. And we just read the passage where Ananias came. You know, it's interesting. It kind of just struck me that it said that Paul was waiting 3 days. Anything else? Can anything else come to mind that it took 3 days? Yeah. You know, Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. But then something like scales fell from his eyes when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, how many of us, I don't know, for me, when I really feel like I was really touched by the Lord, I didn't have physical scales fall from my eyes, but I think I had spiritual scales fall from my eyes. And all of a sudden I realized, first of all, the first thing that I realized was how much Jesus loved me. I mean, that was just that permeated my soul. That, as Paul states in Romans, the way I felt that way, it's like, what a wretched man I am. I felt undone in front of a holy God. I knew that I was not the man that God had called me to be, and I felt undone, and I felt like a wretched man. And yet, in the midst of that, Jesus was saying, yeah, you're a wretched man, Jeff Hatcher, but I love you, and I died for you. We must have a personal encounter with God. You know, and I want to say this, that religiosity, is that a word? I think it is. Religiosity doesn't get her done. I mean, trying to be good and trying to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, it just doesn't get it done. In fact, it's the enemy uses that more and more to bind us up, to put us in bondage, because we can't do it. That's why. We can't do it. No, we need an encounter. We need the scales to fall from our eyes. And I'm telling you, if our nation ever needed scales to fall from their eyes, we're there, church. We're there. Crazy stuff. Y'all heard me talk about this? Crazy stuff. I read an article. I don't know why I'm digressing here a little bit, but I just think it's important for us to get this point. I read an article this week. There was a professor in a medical university that apologized, publicly apologized for. Here's what he apologized for. In his lecture, he said that men cannot have babies. I want that to sink in for a second. I see some heads starting to kind of swell. He apologized because he said only women can have babies, and that was offensive to some people. And so he apologized, he publicly apologized for it. I'm like, what's next? I don't know, maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but ladies, I think that's your job. I think the baby having is your job. Thank you, Lord. I have enough trouble as it is. But that's the craziness of our world. Right is left and up is down and right is wrong and wrong is right. And it's like we just crazy stuff. We need the scales to fall from our eyes, and not just as a nation. And guess what? Where we need to start? Right here with us. We need to see this. And God's people have to be engaged. We have to have an encounter with Jesus, and we have to respond, which leads me to the second point. To overcome a checkered past, we not only have this encounter with Jesus, but we respond in obedience. He didn't just like, he wasn't just showing off to Saul on the road. It wasn't just like, hey, man, watch this. I'm going to put on a little light show here for you. Watch this. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit. No, he had something for him to do. The Lord said to Ananias, go. He had something for Ananias to do. Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And listen to this. At once, Saul began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God. He has this encounter with Jesus, and he's transformed, and he begins to act. He does something. Jesus didn't hang on a cross just to save us. He's got a task for us. He's got a mission for us. Go and tell someone. Go and tell someone. I end every sermon with that. What are we telling people? We're telling people who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and what he'll do for them. At once, Saul began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, the people, especially the Christians, were really leery of this. It's like, wait a minute. This is, you want me to go and talk to who? You want me to go hang out with this guy? And isn't that the guy that was holding the coats while they were stoning Stephen? Isn't this the guy who sought out authority to arrest us, women and men? Isn't that the guy? Something happened to Paul. Approximately half of your New Testament, roughly, he wrote. You and I, if you're Jewish, this doesn't apply to you, but you and I as Gentile believers, the message came through Paul. It says that he's his chosen instrument, Jesus said, to go to the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. So it wasn't like the message is just exclusive for them, but his mission was to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the Gentiles. He responded in obedience. So how are we doing with that, church? This came to me a few years ago, and it just stuck, this phrase. Are we consumer Christians? Hello. Are we consumers where it's just like, it's all about, look what God has done for me, and now I'm not going to do anything. Oh, he's given us a mission. Go and tell someone. Go and share the good news. And here's the third point. This is a tough point, church. I kind of agonized even going here, but we're going to go here because it's the truth. To overcome a checkered past, not only would we have a personal encounter with Jesus and respond in obedience, but be ready to pay the price for Jesus. We somehow have this this illusion that when we become Christian, life is, man, we can throw up the sail and it's all clean sailing. It doesn't work that way. If anything, the battle intensifies on us. I had a guy I just talked to yesterday and just really have had some, he's doing some things, I can't really share all the details, but he's doing some things that are really kingdom mission. I mean, he's really doing some things for the kingdom. He's making a difference. And he said, man, I am getting attacked on every side. And I said, dude, it's because you're doing eternal things. You're being about eternal business, and the enemy doesn't like that. If we want to overcome a checkered past, we must encounter Jesus, and we must be respond in obedience, and we must be ready to pay a price for Jesus. Isn't it interesting, this encounter that Jesus had, the resurrected Christ had with Paul, with Saul, and then Ananias. And he says, he said to Ananias, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Don't you know that Saul was going, woohoo! I've become a Christian now. The scales have fallen off. I've got this mission. And oh, by the way, you're going to suffer, dude. You're going to have some problems. And then later in 2 Corinthians, one of the letters that Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 11, he did a little checklist. Paul says, I have been in prison. I've been flogged. I have been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. By the way, that they were by law, the Jews were allowed to give a prisoner 40 lashes. If they went over 40 lashes, I believe they were put to death, as I recall. So they would always do minus one, just in case I miscounted. I don't want to do 41 here, so that's what that is. I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers. I've been in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, meaning the Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. He's been in danger, guys. In danger from false brothers. Everybody, there was somebody in all categories that hated Paul. I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. The food part was important. He said it twice. I have been cold. I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. What a wonderful life that Saul must have. But here's the deal. He goes on to say in Philippians, he says, I consider everything a loss, everything that he's gained in life compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Man, he's been through all that stuff, but he sets all that aside, and it all pales in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, his Lord. In Acts chapter 5, there's a passage where the apostles, again, their crime is sharing the gospel. And the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, have come against them, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And they first, you know, many of them are wanting to put them to death. And then one of the leaders steps up and goes, hey, you know what? Let's don't do that, because if their message is false, it's going to die out. And if it's true, then we need to watch it, okay? And so they ended up just giving them lashes and then sent them away. And here's how the apostles respond to receiving the lashes. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Name, big N, Jesus. You know, I just did a funeral yesterday for Kenley Riney. Kenley was 3 years old when her and her family joined our church in, I think it was 05. A family, you know, I told that family, I said, look, I can't fix it. I can't fix it. I don't even know why this has happened. But I do know this. Jesus loves you, and he loves Kenley. And Kenley loves Jesus. And he's provided an eternal home for her. You know, this life is just not always easy. Jesus said it very clearly, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And Jesus, the thing that's really cool about the Lord, so many things really cool about the Lord, but one of the things is he doesn't just talk a good game. He kind of put his money where his mouth was. On the night he was betrayed, and he's sitting around this table, and they're having this last supper together, and he knows that the cross awaits him the next morning. And he's sitting around and he sees these 12 guys. One of them, did you know that he washed Judas's feet at that meal? And right after that, he told Judas what he was fixing to do. I know what you're going to do. Go do it. So he washed Judas's feet, and he's sitting around and he sees this Judas that's going to betray him. He sees Peter that's going to deny him. And he sees all these other disciples that are going to scatter out of fear. And yet, he takes the He takes the cup and the bread, and he takes the bread and he breaks it, and he said, amen. Remember, he knows the cross is coming. He takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he says, this is my body, broken for you. And then he said, the next thing he said was, as you partake of this meal, remember me. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, my blood. As you eat and drink of this, remember me. I've said it before, but, you know, when I was younger, young, ignorant kid, I used to see communion Sundays like, dadgummit, the Luby's line is going to be longer. Or I'm going to miss the kickoff. And I didn't understand until I was about 31 years old that this is a costly meal. It's costly and it's precious. Christ doesn't ask us to suffer without showing us that he's willing to suffer for us. So if you would pray with me, this table begins with a heart of repentance where we tell the Lord where we have failed him and we ask him to forgive us. So if you just in your own heart, if you will pray that prayer. Jesus, we love you. We pray that you will make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. We pray a blessing on these elements. We thank you that you have found us worthy to suffer and die for. And we remember that sacrifice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you are... the invitation is, if you love Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to this table. If you've repented of your sins, you're welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You're welcome. But if you don't want to partake, that's okay too. We hope that you feel welcome. I would also say, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, if you're still seeking, I would wait to partake of this meal until you have made that confession before God. So I want to ask the praise team and our servers and sound team to come down, please. So the invitation has been made. Let me give you a few details. You will be given, because of just trying to, you know, be sensitive to our COVID germs and so forth, you will be given a canister that's got both the bread and the juice in it. I would encourage you to open the bread first. It will work better. As you come through and you'll receive the elements, I would ask you, there's a trash can in the center back here, and on both wings there's a little trash can that you can, if you'll step away from the serving line, to open and perceive so that we can keep the line flowing, and then you can discard your empty in those trash cans. Jesus loves you. This meal is His invitation to you. Come.
so good to me. A thousand tongues of angels say, you are so good to me. How perfect are your ways, how endless is your grace forever. I will see your praise.
Encountered Jesus, it was a simple thing. At that point he didn't go and have all this, you know, training and anything. He began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a simple message. Jesus is the Son of God. I encourage you, church. We have that same good news. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.